south. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. Still come on the program, Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District will be with us. Sean Ross, formerly editor-in-chief of Yellowhammer News with SR Communications, will join us. And we will wind it all down with Baldwin County Sheriff Hoss Mack. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, I hadn't heard from this gentleman in a while, but always good to get him on. I'm very appreciative of his time. He is a former state senator, former chairman of the general fund in the Alabama Senate. Trip Pittman on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. I want to get you on here. First off, this dust up in this U.S. Senate race, Katie Britt, Mo Brooks, but Katie Britt getting the alpha endorsement, Mo Brooks pushing back. Alpha has a legacy in Alabama politics, or at least maybe even it predates the Alpha name, but the planners and the Big Mule Coalition and farmers really having a sway in state government. But you have an interesting perspective on this. I want to get you on to talk a little bit about it and just get you to weigh in a kind of what do you think that role is today in 2021?
Well, there's, as you said, referred to the Big Mules. They're one of the power players, you know, alpha in the state, and they derive the insurance company, and they derive their influence from the Farmers Federation and the members around the state and the various counties that make the decisions actually politically. I'm sure sometimes with some counsel from Montgomery or Washington, but. So it is an important endorsement simply because it's 67 counties and you got to win boxes in order to win elections. But ultimately, the farmers are people that make up their own minds, are independents, they're business people. They have a lot of interaction with government because they're dealing with a bitch called Mother Nature that is tough. But at the end of the day, I think that they are looking out after their members, not necessarily the whole population of the state or the country. And one of the big issues, or the biggest issue historically, has been labor and the ability to find people to do work. And right now, that's a challenge. And the process of getting legal workers and finding people that still have a good work ethic, that are willing to go to work and do some of the tougher jobs. I know as a businessman, I have a hard time finding people that want to work on equipment, be mechanics and technicians. So, but the reality is that I think that they have not been historically, on the leading edge of controlling the border. I mean, I think that they talk about the H-2A program and having legal workers, which is a program that works and has been gotten better. But I don't think that historically, and when we did pass the comprehensive, immigration reform, HB 56 in Alabama, the farmers out of Alpha, their member hired guns and their representatives in Montgomery were opposed to the legislation and did everything they could, did a lot to try to stop it or certainly to modify it. And I feel like that they are, the charge that they're not as strong on the border is what a lot of American citizens are that realize that a nation without borders really isn't a nation, that they tend to want to let the workers come in and let the market sort them out.
Right. Well, I've noticed over the years, whenever we have one of these big statewide races and the candidates are gaming for that alpha endorsement, which is, I think, very, 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 it's a big shot in the arm, no matter what you think about it, but they're very guarded on their language about immigration and immigration policy and labor markets that maybe you don't necessarily get that honest discussion that when you introduce that artificial element into the labor supply, what that does to the overall economy, there are impacts beyond just, and look, these guys are looking out for the interest of farmers, but it has a wholesale impact on the labor market overall beyond just agriculture.
Well, of course, and the actual farmers, I talked to one this morning that was impacted negatively by HB 56, and he said it was a lot to do with it coming into effect in the fall, that at harvest time, that the news scared a lot of farmers lot of people away, and they had different relationships than they do now with the H-2A, and now the H-2A is working. He says it could be improved because the money's not going to the workers or the farmers. It's going to, or from the farmers to the middlemen. But you've got the processing plants. That's a big user of labor. You know, you've got E-Verify, but that's kind of a, you know, a trailing enforcer because you have to submit the information and wait back for a reply. But no, it is about labor, and we've done a lot with our governmental policies to, you know, disincentivize people from going to work. I mean, you have to make a good amount of money if you qualify for a lot of these programs. You know, you can not do anything legal and make more money than you would if you worked.
Yeah, well, you know, we were, or I guess Congress or Republicans are very hesitant to raise the minimum wage. That it's almost as if Democrats looking at this pumped all the stimulus, or our policymakers pumped all the Republicans as well, all the stimulus into the economy. Now that the private sector has to compete with government, my anticipation would be, well, then the private sector just has to outbid the government to get people just to come to work and outbid them by a significant margin because your choices are staying at home and doing nothing and collecting a check. You can't just match it. You got to exceed it by a certain amount. And that's why we're seeing a lot of these shortages throughout the economy, not just in labor, but in, finished goods, et cetera.
Correct. Well, people can work, you know, for cash. They can, on the side, they can do things that are illegal to generate income. So, but I think that the challenge with, you know, again, you ought to have borders are there for a reason. You ought to have legal immigration. We need to verify who's there. We can do it. I know when I ran for office, I talked about Federal Express and UPS being able to keep up with all of these packages, knowing exactly where they are. If it was a will, then we could, you know, we could control immigration. We're a nation of immigrants. And we need the vitality of legal people to enter legally. But it does depress wages. I mean, there's no question it's about labor costs. And I'm not a supporter of minimum wages because I think people should be savvy enough to negotiate what they think they're worth. But that's a little limited because of the overall picture of what jobs are available and what employers are going to pay. But I do think that the illegal immigration very directly does impact wages. And again, low wages are, in keeping low labor costs are a very historical, you know, part in this country. If you go back to its founding and going back to all the different, immigrations that have happened willingly and unwillingly, they were about people trying to not only better their life, but about trying to open the doors up to, we'll have more people to be able to, you know, support economic growth and the prosperity. So there's a balance. I do think that it's just up to the voters to discern who they think are the best candidates. Endorsements and can be important for the money and for the members that participate in that organization. But people ultimately make up their own minds based on their future and their family's future.
Well, I tell you what, Senator. Though we talk about these markets and the way. There's so much government influence and everything, but whenever you bring up, well, then we shouldn't be paying illegal immigrants to come here. You should just pay whatever the going rate for the wage is to get farm help or whatever, wherever you need the help. Well, do you want to pay? Do you want to pay $2 or you want to pay? How much you want to pay for a head of lettuce? How much you want to pay for, you know, that corn on the cob or whatever, and that we've always had this artificially lower prices for produce and food and whatever. But at what point do we need kind of truth in pricing that you pay for a head of lettuce what its value is, and that's how this market economy runs more efficiently, not with government trying to stimulate or whatever. But in particular, adding these guest workers, that you have workers out there, you have people that aren't working because they're able to collect money from the government for whatever reason. If you made it worth their while, then we would get a true indication of what really, you know, the economy suggests a value of this good or service is.
With that question, Jeff, you know, the H-2A workers, they're not getting, you know, they're selected by the middlemen. the managers to go down and, you know, recruit them, find them in Mexico. They pay them, they agree to a wage, and then they contract with the farmers for an agreed upon rate, hourly or piece or whatever. And then, you know, those middlemen make the money. So there should be some reform there so that the workers actually get more and the farmers could either pay less or there could be a middle ground. But the markets are stronger than governments. I mean, we tend to think now our government is you know, all-knowing and all-encompassing. And immigration, people want to come to this country. If I was outside of this country, you know, I'd probably want to try to get in it, too. And nowadays with cell phones, it's not like it used to be where you may never see your family again. You can drop a pin now and transfer your bank accounts. So it makes it even more critical because there are a lot of bad people in the world. Fortunately, our immigration problem tends to be Catholics and Hispanics with good work ethics, and they don't tend to blow themselves up. So we're blessed, and unlike Europe, it has a lot of not-so-good people. But regardless, we need to control the borders. We need to make sure who's here, make sure they're here legally, and make sure that they're vetted not to be a threat to the citizenry that's here. But again, you know, there's a lot of different motivations, and you got to have labor for still to make things work. And in a lot of cases, because of disincentives, and you know, people aren't paying enough to go to work, or they don't have the ability or the work ethic to actually realize that their self-worth comes from labor. You know, Paul Hubbard told me one time when I had a meeting with him and we were debating an issue that he thought all able-bodied people ought to have to work to eat. You know, Medicaid expansion is about providing Medicaid for health, able-bodied adults. You know, so I think able-bodied adults ought to have to work to eat. I agree with Dr. Hubbard on that. And I think we need to control our borders. And, you know, and again, I think one of the greatest tragedies with hindsight will be that we, to a large degree, with importing cheap goods and allowing the illegal immigration to undermine the middle class in this country. And the inflation that we allow to happen because it benefits people that owe money, a lot of money, like the government. Those have not been good things in the past or going forward for this country.
We're joined by former State Senator Tripp Pittman here on the program. Senator, bringing it back home to Alabama and the role Alpha plays in state government, you know, where do you think that is today, though? Is it, you know, we have these guys that come on. Steve Flowers, for example, comes on and just touts how valuable that Alpha endorsement is. That it has all these perks and benefits, but you know, back it up a little bit. Does it mean as much as it once did? I mean, we're not as a rule of a state. We're still ag heavy. I get it. We still have a lot of farmers, but where are they in that continuum on you know, cloud and the heavy hitters in state government? There's BCA. There's Alpha. There's, you know, all the other big mules. Manufacture Alabama, all these coalitions, but is Alpha really what it once was?
Well, again, you have Alpha, the insurance company, and all of their, you know, legislative people and all the hired guns that they have, and they're very influential at the State House in terms of legislation. The disappointment I had with Alpha is that they would agree that legislation may be bad, but they would not necessarily stop it. They would only amend it to make sure that it didn't apply to farmers. So, you know, they would be looking out after their own interest and not necessarily about what's good for the state or the country. And I'm speaking specifically of the state, which is where I had relations. But I think, again, in certain counties, they're more influential than others because agriculture, they're more farmers. But I think statewide elections, yeah, they still have a lot of influence. And in local elections, you know, the members can still go to the boards. They know the farmers, and they can get out there and overcome the endorsement's not as critical as it is when you have to get, a statewide organization. So my disappointment with Alpha is sometimes they're, you know, looking for their own advantages and looking to protect their own people, which is what they're there to do. When I wish they would take a, you know, if it's bad for them, it's probably bad also for the rest of the citizens of the state. And fortunately, I think, you know, they're pro-family, and that's the fundamental foundation of our country, which is a number one strength. They are, you know, have been anti, not directly out front, but they've not supported, you know, big gaming,
right?
Because they see the insidious effects that it has on the family. So yes, they're still influential, they're there in the halls every day with lots of people. So that's, you know, when you're in front of people, that's why you have salesmen. You know, when you're in front of people, you can have a lot of impact, and they certainly have that. Plus, they have their local, you know, groups that come to Montgomery and get engaged with the elected officials, as they should.
We'll get you out of here on this, Senator. But the reason we have the it may not be Alpha directly, but it really is the influence of agriculture, is why we have this kind of tax structure in Alabama where it's very heavy on sales tax and lighter on property taxes. That is the why the tax structure in Alabama is the way it is. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, listen, the communists took all the property and they lost their tax base. In this country, you get to rent your property. If you don't believe it, you know, don't pay your taxes. So I'm a supporter of low taxes. But again, I also believe you need to pay for your government. And you're right. I mean, you know, our state has the lowest property taxes of any state in the country. That's not a bad thing. But yet, you know, that's one of the great advantages that landowners have in this state. And I guess on some other issues, you would think that they may be more engaged. But at the same time, they understand the amoeba, how, you know, the government's like the blob, and the more you give it, the only way to limit government is to limit the amount of money they have. That's how the Republicans now can limit President Biden and the Democrats by not raising the debt ceiling or limiting the amount of how much they raise it to support their spending. So, yeah, it's Jeff, you know, it's not beanbag. You know, it's politics. It's about the process of dividing up the money and people trying to get fair advantages or protective advantages they have. And to that end, you know, I don't think that there's not a, you know, the Three Musketeers are not around a lot. It's usually all these groups tend to just take care of their own interests. And that's not good for, you know, for the average Joe out there that sits there and goes to work every day and just wants to be left alone.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're up against the break, but you've been very kind to come on this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. Best wishes to all the people out there in Radio Land, and good luck. God bless.
Former State Senator Tripp Hittman there with us. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Into Mobile, my.